The first one who can find this will win a prize. Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter and the 9th verse. And again, if you can find it first and you don't have an iPad or an iPhone and you're doing it the old-fashioned way, Sister Sharon, get you a Bible and look. And where is that in the Old Testament? The book of Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter, verses 9 through 12. All right. Again, you don't raise your hand if you got an iPod, no iPad. No, we're doing it the old-fashioned, good, the old-fashioned way. When I was young growing up, they made us learn the books of the Bible. That's how we began to know where to turn in the scriptures. They said, okay, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, there it is. That's where it is in the sequence. That's how we would find it. Now, for this one, no one gets a prize. Genesis, the 2nd chapter, verse 18. No one gets a prize. If you can't find Genesis, you ain't getting no lunch today. So we're going to take our primary text out of Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter, verses 9 through 12. Then we're going to add to the witness Genesis 2 and 18. Amen. If you have that, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. You have that and stand. We're going to ask all of our young people to stand. And we stand simply out of honor and respect for God's word. Now, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. You may have a different translation in your hand, but I'm just going to ask that you follow along. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. So again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly or easily broken. Amen? That's a good word, right? Let's go to Genesis 2:18. You guys have that? And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. That's all we need. And God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Amen? Amen. Our subject for this morning, or the title for this brief sermon, is Together We Win. Together we win. Again, together we win. And it's a message worth preaching, because we live in a day and a time today where the counter or the antithesis to that statement is more prevailing. Today people believe I win. Today people are more concerned about them winning and you losing. Everybody's trying to build their own brand, build their own image, get their own things set up so that they can be recognized and esteemed higher or potentially better than others. And all of this is happening in contrary to the Word of God. Because the Word of God tells us that in God's design for humankind, He never meant for them to be alone. He never meant for them to strive alone, to live alone, to work alone. But yet and still, here we are, 2019, and everybody's going for themselves. Are you with me on that? But today we're going to talk about the fact that together we win. Our God and our Father, our attention is given solely and completely to you. Lord Jesus, I pray now that you would calm our hearts, our spirits, settle and stabilize our mind. For in these few fleeting moments that we possess, cause the word of God to be amplified, made known, understood, and applied to our life. Cause us, after hearing the word of God, to become better, to become sharper, to become quicker, instruments of use and value in the Master's hand. Father, I pray now that all of us would become as good ground, fertile soil, rich and ready for the seed of the Word of God. Cause it to find a place in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits and yes, even in our bodies, that it may spring up into everlasting life. Change us by your word. Make us better by your word. Strengthen us by your word. Make us wise by your word. Give us insight and knowledge by your word. Give us understanding by your word, God. Thy word alone is a light. Thy word alone is a lamp that can guide us and lead us on the path that leads to eternal life. And this is our heart's desire. We ask it in Jesus' name and for its sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the church. No man is an island, entire or completely by himself. Every man is a piece of the continent and a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is less, as well as if a promontory were, or even as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thy own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved with all of mankind. Therefore, never sin to know for whom the bell tolls, for it tolls for thee. Famous poem authored by John Donne. What is the meaning of the phrase, no man is an island? That phrase expresses the ideal that human beings do badly when they are isolated from others and actually need to be a part of a community in order to thrive. Even as we look at our judicial system and our penal system, they often utilize as a form of discipline solitary confinement. Solitary confinement is a form of imprisonment distinguished by living in a single cell with little or no meaningful contact to other inmates or prison staff. Research surrounding the psychological and physiological effects of solitary confinement date back to the 1830s, when the new prison discipline of separate confinement was introduced at the Eastern State Penitentiary, which is here in Philadelphia, and it happened back in 1829. Commenters attributed the high rates of mental breakdown or mental illness to the system of isolating prisoners in their own cells. Charles Dickens, another noted author and poet who visited the Philadelphia Penitentiary during his travels to America, described the slow and daily tampering with the mysteries of the brain to be immeasurably worse than any physical or human torture. Solitary confinement. But without John Donne, a Scottish poet, without Charles Dickens, an English poet, without any medical research or any input from the medical profession, you and I, and all of us are aware, we didn't need the research because the book tells us at the very beginning that God said it is not good for man to be alone. Do you follow what I'm saying? We don't need to experience solitary confinement to understand this ain't good for me. We don't need to be isolated or cut off from families or friends or without access to a community where we can give and receive love and companionship because, again, we have the Word of God to tell us that it is not good for man to be alone. Are you with me on that? Let's look at our text here today, Ecclesiastes 4 and 9. And this text really amplifies that whole thought. Verse 9 says, two are better than one. And they're better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Okay? If you don't get anything else out of the sermon, I've given you the punchline right up front. Two are always better than one. Am I right about it? And again, don't take my word. This is out of your Bible. Are you reading that? That's why I wanted you to look this up. You find this is not the pastor saying this. This is God saying. God said, I never created you to be alone. He now comes back in the volume of the book and says, look, two are better than one. If I had time, I would really work the creation of Adam and Eve to help us to see and to understand that when God made Adam, he made male and female. He made them both at the same time. It's just in the original design, they were both contained in Adam. You follow what I'm saying? But in order to foster companionship, he pulls the woman out of Adam. He didn't, it wasn't a new creation. She was already there. She was just inside of Adam. God pulls her out and now gives her a bodily form, someone that Adam can see, feel, talk to, and have fellowship with. You follow what I'm saying? So two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Now, I don't want to talk down or dismiss the fact that we can have success by ourselves. Matter of fact, so much of the world in which we live depends on us having success by ourselves. Now that we're back to school, back to church, when you get back in school, two of you can't take the test together. You got to take that test how? By yourself. You follow what I'm saying? When you go on a job interview, it's not a group interview. I'm not hiring all. I'm going to hire one person who interviews the best, what? By themselves. So there are certain things in life that we do have to go alone. We do have to be able to stand on our own two feet and give an account or a reckoning for ourselves. But in terms of our relationships, in terms of our fellowship, this is where he's coming in and saying two are better than one. Yes, by myself I can have success. By myself I can get down the road. By myself I can have a degree of achievement, but it will never exceed what I could do with the help of someone else. I don't care how gifted you are, how talented you are, how blessed you are, you'll never go further by yourself than you could if you had someone walking with you. Am I right about it? This is what he's talking about. This is why he's saying two are better than one, because they have a good or a better reward for their labor. So that when they come together, their strengths begin to complement one another. So where you may be good in one area, if you team up with someone else, they may be good in another area, and together you complement each other. And together you get further down the road than if you would by yourself. Deuteronomy 32 and 30 says this, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000 to flight. Look at the increase. The increase is not proportional. I need more math majors in here, y'all. Get your math books out. Get your. He didn't say 1,000, 2,000. He said 1,000. But when you add a companion or a partner or someone to go along with you, now that one goes to 10,000 that are set at flight. Why? Because God blesses unity. When you partner up, when you come together, when you work together, again, you are going to be able to accomplish more than you could by yourself. By yourself, you'll get the 1,000. But you'll never have an exponential increase until you partner with someone else. Touch your neighbor and say, let's get together. Verse 10 says, for if they fall, one will lift his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. 1 Samuel 14 and 7 recounts the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer. And verse 7 says, so his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then, because I am here with you according to your heart. A quick backdrop on this story. Jonathan is a prince in Israel. He is Saul's son. He is a noted archer and a skilled man of war. He is now looking at over across the countryside into the camp of one of the enemies of Israel's, the Philistines, and they have a garrison or a military compound. Some are estimating between maybe 400 and 500 men were stationed there, and Jonathan, along with his armor bearer, the job was to go and to carry his shield and any other weapons of warfare. They happened to have been out scouting. And when they were scouting, they stumbled upon this garrison, this military compound of the Philistines. Now, the typical response would have been to now bring that intelligence back to Saul, the king, the military commander, and say, hey, why we were out spying, why we were scouting the land, we found that they have a military base here, so that then the entire army could strategize how to go and attack and capture that garrison. And they wanted the garrison of the Philistines because the Philistines were noted craftsmen of iron. They had the best weapons of warfare. That was what they were noted for. They had the raw materials, and they had the kind of craftsmen that can sharpen them. Matter of fact, many of the surrounding nations entered into bartering with the Philistines so that they could buy their weapons for their own army. But so Jonathan sees this, but instead of taking the message back to the camp and saying, hey, let's develop a strategy, something stirred in Jonathan. Jonathan said, look at this. There's a garrison there, and they are complacent. They're not even worried about anybody. They're not thinking about anybody, because who in the right mind would attack a Philistine garrison? They had all of the weapons of war, and they had men who could fight. But in spite of that, Jonathan was not daunted. Something stirred in him, and he said, look at here, we can go over and capture this garrison right now. 400 to 500 men, skilled warriors, a large number of military weapons available at their disposal. Jonathan said, we can go and get this. We don't have to take the message back. We can go and we can claim this compound for God today. Now, that may have been Jonathan's disposition, but if you or I were the armor bearer, yeah, hold up, Prince. Look, I got it. You juiced up. I hear you. I hear it in your voice. I see it in your face. But let's think about this a minute. It's 1-2 of us and 400 to 500 of them with weapons, with skill. You follow what I'm saying? We need to, you know, we used to say back in the day, you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. This ain't going to end good for us if we head over there. You know what? Am I right about it? That would have been my response. Wait a second, Pastor. Let's pray about this. Look, back at the church where everybody else is. Before we go running out here and getting our heads cut off. Listen what his armor bearer said. Without hesitation. I mean, he didn't stutter. He says, look, do all that is in your heart to do. This is what I love. He said, go. For I am with you. He didn't stumble. He didn't stutter. He said, I'm connected to you. And if you are driven to go, then I am driven to go with you. Touch your neighbor and said, I wish I had a friend. Jonathan's armor bearer was not named in Scripture. Always look for people in Scripture with no names. I'll tell you why in a second. His anonymity, his humility, and his unwavering dedication to Jonathan and his trust in God make me want to be a friend like him. Unnamed people. Anonymous people. People who come in and out of the scenes of life without any identity. I'm telling you as a pastor, when you do your Bible study, look out for no-name people. Because people without names allow you to place your name on their character. That's worth the whole sermon. Y'all got to do better than that. You got to do better than that. There's a reason God, we put Jonathan's name in. Why not put this armor bearer's name in? But God intentionally left him nameless so that you and I could look at this passage and not see the armor bearer, but rather see ourselves. We may not all be able to be Jonathans or princes or kings of sons, but we can all be nameless friends. We can all position ourselves to be a companion who doesn't desire the lead, but says, look, I will go with you. It's not my ideal. It's not my concept. It's not my business plan. But if you feel so strongly about it, I'll go with you. And I'm going to encourage you to do all that is in your heart. Touch somebody and say, do everything you can. I'm sick and tired of having friends that always put the brakes on me. Whoa, 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 slow down, Pastor. Well, no, don't do that. And if you do it, you ought to wait a little while. Wait till next year. Wait till you're older. Wait till you're wiser. If I wait any longer, I won't be able to do anything. But thank God for friends that say, look, go for it. Touch somebody around you and tell them, go for it. Yeah, that's the kind of friend. And not only am I going to tell you to go for it, I'm going to get in there with you. You're going to go for it. And I'm going to go for it. And we're going to go forward together. If we fail, it'll be you and me. If we have success, it'll be you and I. Why? Because we can do more together. Somebody say together. His armor bearer said, go for it, Jonathan. If you feel today is the time, if you feel that we can get the victory, if you feel that God is with us, let's go ahead and go for it. Don't put off, isn't that what President Kennedy said? Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? Instead of sitting back on the gimme line, instead of sitting back on the sideline of life, God is calling us to get in.
and to fight the good fight of faith, not alone, but together, because together we shall win.
Here it is, verse 11. Again, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I have a personal problem with this verse. Look at it. If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? I've been married going on 22 years. And many a night, we have lied down together with the hope, intention, and expectation that by so doing, we would be warmer. But many were the mornings. This is where I wish I had a real church. We go down together. We get under the comforter together. We snuggle up together. But somewhere around 4 a.m, it is no longer us under the cover. It is now her under the cover. And I'm on the other side of the bed freezing. So when I saw this in the text, I said, God, we got to talk about this. I don't have no Bible verses to support this. I don't have no scripture to run a reference against this. Because I said, as for me and my house, this don't work every morning. Touch your neighbor and say, move on, Pastor. Verse 12. And in conclusion, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily or quickly broken. Touch your neighbor and say it won't break. When two come together, we stand a better chance of defeating an attack. But if I go it alone, I can easily be ambushed. If I go it alone, they can easily sneak attack me. If I go it alone, they can simply confront me and overpower me. But if I got help with me, touch your neighbor and say, get some help. If I got a companion with me, if I got a business partner with me, if I got a prayer partner with me, we are better able to get the victory. Look at what Judges says, 1:3. Then Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me into the territory that has been allotted to me, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And he said, and I in turn will go with you into your territory and fight with you. Judges 1:17, Judah went with Simeon and his brother, and they struck the Canaanites living in Zephath and utterly destroyed it. When the brothers got together, they were able to gain the victory. 1 Samuel 26:6. Then David said to Abimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Jeruah, Joab's brother,
And he asked the question, who will go down with me to Saul and into his camp? Abimelech didn't say nothing. But Abishai, I wish I had a friend like this, said, I will go down with you. You missed it. Let me. Abishai said, I will go down. If you got it, say, I got it. It is easy to find friends when the stairs go up. Everybody wants to be a part of the bandwagon when success has already been achieved. But Abishai said, if we go down in the Saul's camp, he's surrounded with the entire army of Israel. But Abishai said, I'm not afraid, because if God be with us, he's more than the whole world. Come on, David. I'm willing to go down with you. We may not come up together. We may not achieve together. But we can go down together. And if God be for us, who can? Who can? Who can? The Bible is filled with stories of men, women, children who worked together and did great things. I just highlighted too, the Bible is packed. Men coming together. Women coming together. Men and women working together and achieving great exploits. Why am I mentioning that? Look at how the passage ends. He says a threefold cord is not easily broken. So look, let me tell you why I'm slowing up. This whole together thing, I got it. I got it. I said, God, I can preach this. Because we're getting together. Bible's filled. I could have went anywhere. I could have put my finger down in any book of the Bible and found the story of the people of God working together. And so, what I would have expected the concluding sentence to be would have been a twofold cord, because it would match back to all of the analogies. Two have a better reward. Two are warmer. Two can put off an attack. But when he concludes, he doesn't use a twofold cord. The preacher, the Ecclesiastes, says a threefold cord is not easily or quickly broken. So I had to ask God, Lord, help me to understand your word. How many know it's his word? Not yours, not mine, it's his word. So if you ever have a question about his word, it is always best to ask him. Touch your neighbor and say, ask God about it. So I'm talking with God in my study. What's going on here? I see you're making a funny move in the text. Explain it to me so that I can explain it to your people. So while I'm trying to get an understanding, God draws my memory back to the Hebrew boys. There were three. I wish I had a real church. A real church would take this message out of my hand. Give me that mic, Pastor. I may not preach anything else, but I can preach Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. They said, hey, look in that fire. What do you see, O great King Nebuchadnezzar? He says to those men who bound the Hebrew boys, he said, didn't we throw three Hebrews into the burning fire? And they said, oh yes, great King, we threw three in the fire. But Nebuchadnezzar said, you tell me if I'm wrong, but when I look in the fire now, I don't see three, but I see four in the fire. And the fourth one is not a Hebrew, but he looks like the Son of the Living God. God told me, you're one cord, he's the other, but I will be the third cord, binding you together and preventing any weapon that is formed against you. Touch somebody and say, the Lord is with us. You got to help me preach now. Find somebody else and tell them, the Lord is with us. Touch three people. Tell them, the Lord is with us. The Lord Most High. The Lord that reigneth, the Lord that sits on the throne, he's with you, he's with me, he's with us, and we shall get the victory. Somebody shout yes. Give them 60 seconds of the best praise you got. Go for it, Taylor. Go for it, Taylor. Together we win. If we can just stay together, you'll win. I'll win. We shall win. Hey. Nah. Yes. Victory is guaranteed. Victory is promised. If we just stay together. If we just stay together. Whoa! Whoa! Stay together. Stick it out. Through hard trials, good days and bad days, stay together. Don't let the devil defeat you. For the Lord is with us. Woo! Look in the fire. You're not alone. Look in the fire. You're not by yourself. Look in the fire. There's someone else. There's... Woo! Yes. Keep it together. Hold on. Make it another year. Make it another month. Make it another week. You win if you don't quit. Yes. Yes. Yes again. Yes again. We will win. We will win. We shall win. If God be for us, who can? What can be a... Somebody shout yes! The Lord is with you. So if you're in a marriage, honor God. And then say to your companion, the Lord is with us. That's how we're going to get through this. That's how we're going to handle the ups and downs. Not because you're smart and I'm cute. No, we're going to do it because the Lord, I wish I had a real church, is with us. So if you're the head of a household and you're trying everything to hold your house together and to keep your family intact, just tell them the Lord is with us. That's how we're going to make it. Job or no job, food or no food, a way out or not, God, by his own right arm, shall give unto us the victory again, and again. Yes, yes, yes again. Together we win. And I need you to get that down in your spirit. Touch somebody and say, together we win. I need you to get that. Because your adversary already knows that. I got to get you to get it. Because he already knows it. And because he knows it, I need everybody looking at me. Turn off your phones and your iPads. Look right at me. I need you to get this.
Because your adversary already knows this. And as a result, his only weapon against us is division. Because he already knows that if we stay together, we're going to win. He knows that. I'm going to prove to you that he knows it. The devil tried to exalt himself above God. The Bible says God kicked him out. Let me help you with it. God the Father kicked him out. God the Son kicked him out. God the Holy Spirit
kicked him out.
He was trying to get one of them to side with him. He said, if I could just get one of the Godhead to worship me, then I could break that unity that they have. Still don't believe me. Look at this. That's why when God the Son came into the earth, Satan said, I got him now. They wouldn't give me no mic play in heaven. But I got him now on my home turf. This is where I rule. I rule the air down here. I handle the mic and the Wi-Fi in the earth realm. He said, if you would just bow now, worship me. Look at it. Bible said he took him up to a high place. You study it out. What the theologians tell us, Satan showed him the grandeur of Rome at the height of human civilization. There are stuff they did in Rome that we're still trying to figure out how they did it. They were so far advanced. He didn't show them Rome when it was, no. He showed Rome when it was at its highest point. He said all of this. At one point, the Empire of Rome almost covered the known earth. One emperor governing the entire world. Satan says, I'll take him down and put you up. You'll be emperor in the morning. All of these years later, he was still trying to get them to what? Separate. If I could just get one to be on my side and break the unity, the devil said, I would win. Where am I going with all this? Why we stop all the music and dancing? You know we like to shout out. Because you got to get this. I'm going to tell you how to spot him every time. He'll be the voice trying to bring division. You ain't got to speak in tongues to know that. You ain't got to know where Ecclesiastes is to know that. I'm telling you, that's what he does. He is the author of confusion and the prince of division. So where God is trying to get us to come together, the Bible said when the sons of God came up to pray, the devil came right with him. That I'm trying to help you. The devil goes to church more than you. He goes to church far more than you. But when he goes to church, he's not looking to strengthen the unity. He's looking to break it by sowing seeds of division. That's how you spot them in the church. That's how you spot them in your marriage. That's how you spot them in your family. That's how you spot them in your business enterprises. That's how you spot them in the neighborhood and on the block. He'll be that voice sowing
division. Because that's what he does. And he's going to do it. We learned on Friday night that everything is going to go until what he says in 1 Corinthians 15:25, until he brings every enemy under his foot and crushes them. Until Christ does that, he's going to keep sowing division. Anywhere and everywhere you let him. That's how you know it's the enemy. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. John 17, Christ's high priestly prayer, he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know what he prays? He says, Lord God, I pray not only for these, meaning his disciples, who were outside asleep because they couldn't stay awake past midnight. He said, I not only pray for these. He said, I pray for everyone who will believe because of their word. Anybody know who that is? That's us. We believe because of their testimony. That's what this is. The New Testament is nothing more than the testimony of the eyewitnesses of Jesus. That's all it is. That's all it is. These are people who saw him with their own eyes. This is not, oh, my mama. No, no. Peter was so convicted by what he saw. He said, when you crucify me, turn me up. I'm not even worthy to die like him. He said, I pray not only for them, but those who will believe. Listen to what he prays. John 17, 20 and 21, if you want to run a reference. He says this. He says, Lord, make them one. That's what it's in your Bible. John 17, 20 and 21. You can look it up. He doesn't pray that they be blessed. He doesn't pray that they have long life. He doesn't pray that they be healed. He doesn't even pray that they be protected from the enemy. All of the things that he could have prayed for. What would you have God pray for if God was willing to pray for you? List all the way down on the floor. He prayed for one thing. He said, Father, make them one. He said, as you and I are one. And you know why he prayed that? So that we can all be one. You and I, we get together. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they get together. And by faith through the blood of Jesus Christ, we become joined with God himself. Yeah. And we're no longer a two-cord rope. But now joined with God, we become a three-cord rope. That is not easily broken. Amen. And it only happens when we get together. Amen. That's what this Sunday is about. In every area of your life, look for and promote unity. Amen. Anytime you try to separate, anytime you try to isolate, I started out by giving you the medical facts. The history is from the penal system. Anytime you isolate yourself, it can only go bad. That's the only way it can go. It can never go up. It can only go down. But if you join with another believer, the old folks used to say, of like precious faith. You got to be in church a little while to know that. Someone with the same kind of faith and hunger and belief in God that you have. That's when you go from 1,000 to 10,000. Why? Because we're working
together. And like I said, you've got to get this. Because your enemy already knows it. Life is better when we live in community. Life is better when we have fellowship one with another. I love the beautiful remarks, and somebody was saying something about food, and I like food, and all that's true. Let's listen. You read throughout your Bible. There's not a single book in the Bible you can read, or maybe one or two. Let me not make an absolute statement. But you know what's in every book of the Bible? Food. Read it. Food. Some of his greatest miracles involved food. Anybody know why? You ever take a second to stop and say, why is that? Why is this miracle worker, this son of God, always dealing with food? I heard somebody say it. Food promotes fellowship. That's why when service all, we're all going upstairs to eat. Why? Promotes fellowship. And that's the key ingredient. Come on, shall we all stand? Father.